going to one of our favorite books again, the Book of Psalms. I want you to look as we see how the psalmist writes this. I will bless God at all times. Not just good times. You get that? You see that word all? In all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter what kind of a day I'm having, no matter what situation I find myself in, no matter what's going on within my family, what's going on in my workplace, no matter how bad I feel, the things that come out of my mouth are going to praise the name of Jesus. Now, why is that so important? Because when you're going through a tough time, whatever definition you want to give to tough time, and you still are praising the name of Jesus, it's the greatest witness you can do. You know, it's easy to praise Jesus when everything is right. I mean, man, your wife's in a good mood. Your husband's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Your kids are shutting up and they're not speaking. And it's a good time. It's a quiet time. The bills are paid. The boss is okay. Everything's going along well. Well, it's pretty easy to say, thank you, Jesus. But you let your world fall apart around you for whatever that world may be and see how tough it is. But yet, if you can still say good, bad, whatever kind of day I'm having, Jesus is still on the throne. And you act as if Jesus is still on the throne, is the greatest witness that you can have in all this world and in this planet. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Look what he says. My soul shall make her boast in God. The meek shall hear. Meek here means humble. So hear thereof and be glad. My soul shall make boast in God. When things either going good or not going good, and I praise God, it means I'm understanding if I'm able to get up and stand, get up and breathe, get up and walk, get up and do what I need to do, even if I'm hurting. Even if I'm not walking very well this morning, but I'm here in church, what I'm saying is not because of anything I've done, it's because God gave me the strength to get here today.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause on this side. I'm going to be glad of that. This is what this means to be humble. You know, I tell everybody talks all the time about, you know, Brother Roger, you look so good, and you've lost your weight, and all of that, and all the stuff that you have to do, and all that you go through. Someone even said, you know what, to tell you the truth, I'll tell you how bad this church is, the preacher's the healthiest person we got in church. And that's going some right there, because I got all kinds of issues. But it's not the issues that define me. If issues define you, you will be worth the powder to blow you up with. You understand that? It's not the issues that define you. It's Jesus and His amazing grace that defines you. That's what it's all about. I'm thankful that I'm able to stand. Thankful that I'm able to do what I do. But it's not me, folks. It's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ that keeps me going, keeps me standing, keeps my mind halfway clear. You understand that? It's through Him. It's through His grace. Same way in your life as well. Now, my soul shall make boast in the Lord, and the meek shall inherit thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify God with me, and let us exalt His name together. See, here's the great thing about it. If I will continue to witness for the Lord and praise the Lord, even though it's not the best of days, even though my life's not perfect, everything around me is not perfect. Whatever kind of day it is, if I still stand up and witness for the Lord and people see that, it makes everybody else around you want to do that as well. That's why it says, oh, magnify God with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now, if I'm going to complain, then I'm going to be around people that complain. If I want to praise the Lord, either they'll go the other way because they don't want to do it or don't have the right heart, or if they hang around me, they're going to praise the Lord too. See, you attract people to you on how you are. Because people want to be around people who are like them. So if you're a complainer, you want to talk about God, you want to talk about other people, well, you'll have a crowd around you. That's exactly what they want to do too. And us feed off of each other. That's what you do. There ain't no place for Jesus in that circle. But instead of feeding off each other, if you learn to feed off of Jesus, you'd be surprised how your attitude will change. And you might be surprised how your friends may change as well. That's some pretty good advice there, folks. All right? Surround yourself with godly people. Not people whose world is perfect. Not people who are perfect. Their families are not perfect. We're full of church people here who's got everything in the world wrong. Everybody here's got all kinds of issues. Now, some of it you don't know, maybe some of it you do. It's none of your business. You got enough issues to take care of yourself, don't you? Huh? Don't worry about anybody else's issues. But understand, when someone says, I need prayer, whether you read it on Facebook, or you read it on the internet, or you get an email, or you get a phone call, or you run into somebody and says, I need prayer, then you pray for that person. You pray for that family. You pray for whatever situation they've asked you to pray about. And if they didn't tell you what it's about, you say, God, you know the issue. Oh, I pray that prayer all the time, because people say to me, people sometimes I don't even know. And I tell you what I get a lot of times, when if I'm praying for somebody in the hospital, the nurse comes in, most of the time they'll be very respectful of that. And maybe they're trained that way, or maybe they're Christian people, or whatever. But I get all the times after I'm done that a nurse or a nurse's aide or somebody will say, you know, will you remember me in prayer too? I get that all the time, Marshall. I'm going to tell you why, because they see everything. You're in the medical field, you see it all. You got people dying around you all the time, and yet you see God's grace around you all the time. You see miracles around you all the time. But you don't ever know from day to day when you walk into a doctor's office or you walk into a hospital what you're going to see, what you're going to deal with that day. I tell you, I love it when the medical people that surround me are godly people. Now, sometimes you don't have that choice, but I promise you, I've asked God to put godly men and women in my medical circle, and He has. And through God's grace and through these people, that's who kept me alive through all this time. And believe me, God will put the right people in your path if you ask Him to do that. Give the Lord a hand of applause. I saw God, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I want to make sure you understand what this is. I saw God and He answered me. God will answer your prayer. That may not be the answer you want, but He'll answer your prayer. And look here. And deliver me from all of my fears. That means He may not answer my prayer, but He'll give me peace about it no matter what. Because when I pray to the Lord, usually most of the time I'm asking for something. Have you ever noticed that when you pray and you're asking for something? Does that seem to be normal? You know, Lord, please, answer this, answer that. Be with this, be with that. I need this. This person needs healing. We ask an awful lot in our prayer time. And as I have tried to teach you, and everyone who listens to me on the internet just understands, prayer is a two-way conversation. After you get done asking everything you need to ask of God, then don't just say amen. Invite the Lord to talk to you. And I promise you, you'll hear the voice through your heart, and He will talk to you, and He will calm your fears. And I promise you, He will look in deep into your soul and give you whatever peace you need. You just don't say, Lord, do this, 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 this in Jesus' name, and get on about your life. And here's another thing. And even if you forget something to ask for, God knows it all then. Just say, Lord, give me the grace that I need. And just listen. I promise you, He'll speak to you in a way that you'll know that it is the voice of God. You believe that?
Amen.
Huh? You believe that? You should. Look at verse 5. They looked upon Him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. Let me just put this in their face language. When Jesus touches your life, you've been touched. Oh, you can be radiant. Even if you're pale as a ghost, you'd be surprised how much radiance comes out of you when you know you've been forgiven by. There is no greater thing on this planet to know that whatever sin you've committed this week, when you've asked God to forgive you for it, not only did He forgive you for it, He forgot it. It's gone. It's wiped out. It's no wonder I feel good under God's amazing grace. It's simply because that's what it is. It's amazing what He can do for me. It's amazing what He's done for me. It's amazing what He can do for you. And if you're watching me via internet, it's amazing what he can do for you as well. Now look at verse 6. This poor man cried, and God heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried. Cried here, really the same word that we get sincere. In other words, when you pray for something, how about being sincere about it? You know, don't go through the motions. People sometimes don't say, like, my prayers don't get out of the building. But folks, if you're not sincere, it won't make no difference where you're at. You can be out in the middle of a wide open sky. Because prayer is not the prayer goes up. Prayer is within. Now to understand something. When I'm really sincere about something, sometimes I do cry. When I really need a touch from God's hand, sometimes emotions run into me. You understand that? When it says here, this poor man cried, and what does it say here? And God heard him. And then what's he do? Saved him out of all of his troubles. Now, when you see the word saved here, let me teach you something here real quick. Saved doesn't mean he wiped it out. Sometimes he does. You know, God keeps me on my feet. But I still got my issues. I still have to do dialysis every night, my computer at home. I can stand, I can walk, I still got a sore on my foot that's been there for 11 years. You see what I'm telling you? He keeps me on my feet, but sometimes he just don't take it all away. He just makes sure that whatever's going on in your life, he has a way of keeping you going and keeping you out of trouble. In other words, he'll provide the trouble. Sometimes he doesn't wipe the trouble away, but he overrides it. See that? I want to make sure you see that. If you're watching me on the internet, you've got to understand that. God does not automatically just wipe all the trouble away. He just lets you deal with it. Finds your way to it. Keeps you going. Keeps you going. As long as you're doing his purpose and his will in your life, he will keep you going until he's ready for you. And then I always say, when he's ready for me, I don't care how good of doctors I got around me. I don't care how good of nurses I've got around me. I'm going when he's ready for me. And yet, if he's not ready for me, I can be on my deathbed and it won't make any difference. He'll find a way to bring me back until he's ready for Roger. And ready for you. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Larry, let's finish up. The angel of God encamped around about them that feared him and delivered them. The angel of God encamped. The word encamped, we also get another word that we use that you'll know better called surround. You ever been surrounded before? Everywhere you turn, everywhere you go, no matter what path you go in, God's angels are surrounding you. Protecting you, keeping you on the path, watching you, sleeping with you. If you're in the hospital, they're right there with you. When you're driving, they're right there with you. Now, I scare my angel sometimes when I drive. I can't help it. But I mean, that's what that means. Encamped. They surround me. They surround about them that fear him. And then what? Deliver them. I say all the time, I take sometimes life for granted, and yet there's no telling how many times God intervenes in something that either could take my life, ruin my life, put me in a hospital, and yet I don't even know it. I believe that. When I get in this car and I go home between here, and I live 8 miles from here, between here and 8 miles, my life can be taken. And Satan may try to do it, and yet God will make sure that I'm not in that right spot at that right time. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Because I've had a lot of close calls in life. And yet somehow or another, I'm still standing here today. And so are you. Because we don't depend on life for life. Because life will become death one day. We depend on Jesus for life. And then we depend on Jesus for eternal life one day when we take the last breath. Now, look at this invitation. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Blessed is the man that taketh refuge with him. Now, ain't gonna tell how many times I have read that verse. And I really give the same example over and over because it's just the best one. I'm pretty particular about what I eat. Now, y'all find that amazing? And I've gotten a little better as I've gotten older, but there's just some things I don't want. And my mother said this to me, I don't know how many times, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, teenager. You know, them teenagers are wonderful, aren't they? Huh? Oh, they're wonderful, wonderful. And I was a wonderful teenager, but I raised you. You know what I'm saying, all right? And my mother would fix something, and I would just look at it. I don't like how it looks. I know it tastes awful. And here's what she'd say, how do you know? You have never taken a bite of it. I said, I ain't touching it. I can look at it. She served liver one time. That was the awful stuff I've ever seen in my life. Sauerkraut. Who eats that kind of stuff? I can't get past the smell. You know? I mean, and then if you get into wild game, where people eat wild game, squirrel, crab. Who ever heard the like? You know? And of course, I want to keep on steak. They said, well, you know, that comes from a cow, don't you? I said, yeah, but I didn't know the cow. I didn't kill the cow. I didn't do anything to the cow. All I know is it's a steak. Okay? I know, sweetie, I'm preaching too long. Believe me, I got deacons to do that, too, after about 20 minutes. But understand this, folks. You don't know God until you know God. I'm going to tell you something. When you try God, I promise you, he tastes good. You know what it is to taste something good. You can imagine right now something that you love to taste. You get that taste in your mouth right now. You can just see it right now. And understand, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit are the same way. I promise you, if there's anything good in your life, it's because God is around me all the time. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please. Is every head bowed and every eye closed? Father, how precious to be in your house. Father, as we have looked at these marvelous words, your words, ordained words, in your book. Father, may we claim this today. Father, may we love you because you loved us first. Father, I thank you for every blessing that's in my own personal life and the life of my family. I thank you for how you've touched every family in this church. Father, may we praise you for it. May our praise continually come out of our mouths. Father, to be one here today that needs to come and have prayer with me, Father, I'm here to pray with each and every one. If you need a quiet time to dissolve you by yourself, I'd like you to come. If you're watching by internet today, you can bow your heads no matter where you're at. It can be day, it can be night. And if you invite Jesus into your heart and you're sincere about it, you will be saved. I don't care if you're in your pajamas. Jesus is everywhere, every time as we call upon his name. If there's someone here lost within our congregation today, it is our prayer that you be saved. And all you have to do is come and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And I promise you, whether you're young or old, your life will never be the same. If you're sincere about inviting Jesus into your life. Father, bless these moments. May all that we do bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, Brother Larry, if you begin playing music for us, would you come in the name of Jesus?